The European Central Bank has just triggered a stimulus campaign that's bigger than expected. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Market participants were looking for Europe to take a serious step toward holding together its single currency zone. Today, European Central Bank Chief Mario Draghi announced a stimulus plan centered on buying piles of government debt from individual European countries. For more on this shopping list of 60 billion euros of bonds, about $69 billion worth per month from now on, no end in sight, let's turn to Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So, sounds like more stimulus here than the early hints had suggested.
I think what you saw here was Draghi really try to prove that the emperor does have not only new clothes, but he has a whole closet full of designer Italian suits. This is sort of putting some fabric on what he's been saying.
Now, when the Fed does its quantitative easing, you can just do it. In Europe, it requires some coordination, lots of individual central banks involved.
Absolutely. And that's been one of the biggest question marks is could Mario Draghi actually get all these people to agree on going forward with quantitative easing in a meaningful way? We still have a lot of details to dig through on how much and how far he's going to be able to go. But I think it's important to understand that the Eurozone has figured out something the rest of the world is worried about, and that is that they actually need to survive.
Now, that explains, Diane, right, why Wall Street seems so focused on this announcement from the European Central Bank chief today. It's more than just all the stuff in Europe makes the dollar too strong or the U.S. doesn't sell as many iPads to Europeans.
Exactly. We can deal with weak growth abroad. What we can't deal with is if the Eurozone were to melt down and we were to lose the euro entirely, the financial tsunami that would create would also hit our economy as well. And that's something we want to guard against.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We would expect the euro to fall with this downward pressure on interest rates there. It has down 1.1% to $1.1461 at the moment. In the U.S., the yield on the 10-year Treasury is down to 1.86%. When the federal government under Obamacare paid doctors more to treat poor patients, the doctors treated more poor patients. That finding from a new report in the New England Journal of Medicine comes just a few weeks after pay rates returned to their old lower levels. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gornstein reports on the tough economics that doctors face if they want to treat patients on Medicaid.
Dr. Sean Purfoy is living his dream, running his own family medicine office in his hometown, Malvern, Arkansas. Setting a 20% quota on Medicaid patients wasn't part of the plan.
Those patients aren't different kinds of people. They're just people that don't make as much money. They're still in my kid's class or going to church with me.
Purifoy says the math, though, makes it simple. For a standard visit, Medicaid reimburses him $36. Medicare sends him $67, and Blue Cross pays him $88. On top of that, Medicaid patients tend to be sicker, which eats up his time.
That doesn't work financially. And that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but the truth is you're going to get paid a certain amount, and it really doesn't make that much difference how much more time it takes you to do the work.
To take on more Medicaid patients could mean Purfoy cutting salaries, maybe jobs. Obamacare architects understood these economics. That's why they put in the 2-year fee bump. It's helped Camden, New Jersey primary care doctor Ramon Acosta patch up some holes in his practice, literally.
We have been able to do some repairs, like roofing. We have been able to pay some tax arrears, which were substantial.
If the bump were to come back, highly unlikely, it would buy Acosta 5 to 10 more minutes of visit. That may sound trivial, but it would mean fewer gut-wrenching conversations, like a recent one with a boy and his mother, who had two pressing concerns about her son. Acosta, though, didn't have the time.
Unfortunately, which one of the two problems would you like me to address primarily?
Acosta's made a living off these sorts of hard choices for 26 years now. I ask him the trick to staying in business. He says long hours and knowing money is something other doctors make. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
There's increasing evidence that companies especially thrive when their executive ranks are not just a bunch of white guys. A recent study from McKinsey Management Consultants finds a diversity dividend. It looked at hundreds of public companies and found that more ethnic and gender diversity is linked to higher profits and better decision-making. Nova Safo has more.
When you think about diversity in corporate leadership, it helps to think about who you gravitate to at a cocktail party. That's according to Evan Apfelbaum. He studies workplace diversity issues at the MIT Sloan School of Management.
We like people who are similar to us.
That makes us comfortable, he says. But research shows when forced to work with people different than us,
you make very few assumptions about the extent to which others will agree with you. And so it produces these kind of more rigorous, comprehensive decision-making outcomes.
And yet, white men hold 73% of Fortune 500 board seats, and women CEOs are running less than 5% of S&P 500 companies.
It's a focus, but it's not necessarily always a priority.
Shirley Davis Shepherd led diversity efforts at several major companies. She says it's seen as a worthy goal.
But when it comes down to the budget and getting senior executive commitment, that's where you start to find a little bit more of the challenge.
Because, she says, diversity initiatives can take a long time to show dividends. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And we see that both Amazon and at least one Mexican drug cartel are each testing drones to deliver packages. Police on the Mexican side of the border say a drone full of methamphetamine crashed into a supermarket parking lot. 6 pounds of meth were taped to the remote-controlled craft. Somebody at the controls is going to be in trouble. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.